It also is going to discuss important pending legislation, which if passed this year will benefit NRLN members. She also has been asked on the political scene on the Hill beyond this upcoming election.
Bill, we had not started yet. You didn't see my hand?
I know, because I brought up my script.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have a script. I have no script, so I don't know where you all are at.
It's better than having no hands.
Jacqueline put me in the green room and put Allison up live with Bill.
Yeah, see, I need that script.
Well, I'm just practicing. We're just running through this. I mean, why would you need it now?
Because we're practicing.
Well, no, Allison and I will practice with you, including some chart or two or something later.
No, sir. I'm the one that's bringing the people in. I'm bringing the people out. I've got banners here on the side to introduce people. And so, I mean, I need to know where we are so that I know when to bring in people, when to take out people. So I you always give me a script.
Well, here.
It's Ed.
I had no real reason to stop.
Are you seeing Bill and Jacqueline talking to one another?
Yeah, she's seeing all of it because it's live. It's live.
Oh, okay, just a moment. Jacqueline, should Martha and Cindy be seeing what's going on now?
Well, yeah, because we're live and I can't end it now. So what we're doing is working out the kinks. So if you want to just head into the conversation without doing the intro, we can do that right now.
Yeah, Martha, you should be seeing what's on StreamYard now on through YouTube. Okay, that static picture of Bill and Allison, or are you seeing a live picture of Bill?
And Martha's not there.
Martha says she'll be notified at the scheduled start time.
We've started. So yeah, all you got to do is click on it.
Click on it, Martha.
What is notification will be sent when it's about to start.
No, it has started. What is she supposed to click on, Jacqueline?
The video.
She's not seeing a video.
Let me see. Something just came on my screen, but I don't know what it is. Now I'm seeing Jacqueline and Ed and Bill.
Okay, that's what you're supposed to be seeing. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
To clarify, I just put this script together so we could, Allison and I could dialogue. And we weren't thinking about questions coming in until she completed, and then I'll ask if anybody has any questions for Allison. Chat them in now, because that's what I was going to say, okay? And I don't know why you need to, right now, Jackie, we're just doing a quick dry run so that we can just read this stuff and see if anybody understands it and then ask their questions. I didn't know that you were looking for the artwork today.
No, I'm not looking for the artwork, Bill. Typically how we do this when we do the dry one, we have a script so we can time it. So that way, when we get ready to go live, in between the dry run and the live, the script is edited or to cut down on some of the time. But, that might be a sideline conversation. If you want to, I can get myself out and you guys can go ahead and, start the program the way you want to start the program, and we can always go back and edit.
Well, okay.
Jacqueline, you probably should put me in the green room and put.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to get you out, and I'm coming out too.
Tell me when.
You guys can go ahead and get started.
All right. Hello, I'm Bill Catterite and your podcast host for this podcast. The year-end assessment of NRLN lobbying for retirees and planning for our agendas in 2023. Welcome to all National Retiree Legislative Network, NRLN, retirees and retirees everywhere. This is where you get the whole truth and facts to back up what we say in print. My guest today is Allison Parker, NRLN's executive director and a registered lobbyist in Washington, D.C. Allison's a lawyer, has served on the Hill, and has experience in working with companies and advocate groups for a number of years. She will discuss important pending legislation, which, if passed this year, will benefit NRLN members. She also can speculate for us as to what she sees happening on the political scene on the Hill post this upcoming election. I will then comment on the latest on Medicare privatization and new ACO REACH trials beginning in 2023. We welcome questions as we go, so please ask away at any time during the podcast, and we will do our best to handle them. So welcome, Allison, and tell us about 2022 and where we stand on our NRLN legislative agenda for retirees.
Thanks, Bill. It's great seeing you. Well, we've had a busy year, despite, still the Capitol was shut down, the Hill was shut down for part of the year with no visitors going up there. We were still busy working on our issues, and we actually made quite a bit of progress this year. We had three different bills introduced dealing with retiree issues. The House Ways and Means Committee introduced a retirement bill, and then we had the Senate Finance Committee also introduce a retirement bill, and then we also had the Senate Help Committee introduce a retirement bill. All three of those bills passed their committee, and they contain provisions that we worked on and we were instrumental in getting into these bills. So I wanted to touch briefly on those issues because, I think they're very important for our members. So the first issue is recoupment, and just a brief review of what recoupment is this happens when a plan, a retiree plan, a pension plan, accidentally overpays a pensioner. And the person receiving the pension has no idea when they get their amount every month that they're being overpaid. And right now, under current law, the company can come back and say, oh, you know what? Sorry, we've overpaid you by $40,000. So you owe us and you need to pay us within a month or two. Obviously, this is a huge hardship for the retiree who has based all of their economic planning on what they were told to be their number that they should expect monthly. And obviously that's unfair. So we worked this year to have that addressed, and we worked with the industry to come up with the compromise. And so essentially what we worked out is that first we made it very clear to the company, or what's in the legislation is making it clear to the company that they do not have a fiduciary duty to recoup. If they choose not to recoup, no one can sue them for not recouping the money. But if they choose to recoup, then we limited the amount that they can go after the retiree for to 10%. It must be done within 3 years of the initial overpayment. They may not recoup more than 10% of overpayment per year. And another big win on that is they cannot, if for some reason the retiree passes away and their pension is passed on to their beneficiaries, the plan could not go after the beneficiary at all for any type of recoupment. So essentially, we really protected the retiree to make sure that they don't experience financial harm if a company decides to recoup against them. So right now, since we worked that out with the industry ahead of time, I feel very good about the opportunity of this passing. It's contained not only in the House bill, it's contained in the Senate Finance bill and also in the Senate Health bill. So I feel very good if, in fact, we end up having a retirement bill this year, which they're still working on and planning on. I think that this provision will be included. The second issue that we've worked on this year, well, we've been working on it for years, but we were able to get it into legislation this year, is the annual funding notice. And each of you receive this annual funding notice every year, and it's basically outdated from the day you receive it. You probably use it for a coaster. And that the reason for that is because the data that's in that AFN is 16 months outdated, because they do the compilation of data at the beginning of the year, but they actually don't send you all of the data until 16 months later. And by that time, you know, as we know this year, market conditions change and your plan can be valued very differently than it was at the beginning of the year. So what we proposed and worked on is simplifying the AFN to make it easier for the retirees. When they get it in the mail, they can quickly look at it and say, okay, this is how my plan is funded. It's, you know, it's gone, it's better funded, it's less funded. And so we had a couple different provisions in the way that we did this. First thing we did, as I mentioned earlier, is instead of having value the plan at the beginning of the year, we are asking them to value the plan at the end of the year. And then it would be sent to the retiree within 4 months of that. So when you get your AFN, it would be only for the data would only be within the last 4 months or only 4 months old. The other thing that we worked on is simplifying the data so it's easier for you to understand. And how we did that is we are asking them to move all the relevant data to the front page in a graph, so you can quickly look at it and say, okay, this is how well it's funded. And I'm just briefly going to tell you what we're asking for in the graph. We're asking them to put the proposed and the last 2 years, the number of plan participants, the plan assets and liabilities, the company funding obligations and contributions, the interest rates that they use to calculate the funding levels, and the rate of return of plan investing over the past 3 years. So this proposal that we have worked on for years is only contained as of right now in the Senate Help bill. It is not contained in the Senate Finance, and it's not contained in the Ways and Means. So we're working, hopefully, to have that, you know, survive the merging of these three bills, which is happening right now. So that's the second provision we're watching and, you know, working on to make sure that it gets included. And the last provision that's in these bills is Section 420. And this provision allows companies to use surplus funding of the pension plan to fund important welfare benefits. Uh-oh.
What
happened?
Nothing.
Can you see me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, my screen disappeared. Huh. Jacqueline, any idea what happened? Why it's weird. It just disappeared.
Your laptop screen went black.
Yeah.
No, we can still hear and see you.
Okay, well, I'm going to pretend like I can see myself.
Then. Your screen may have just timed out for some reason.
Okay.
Hit your enter key.
Can you see the chat?
No, I can't see anything.
Oh, that's right. You can't see right now. Okay.
That's a weird. It's just weird.
Move your mouse. Move your mouse.
Okay, I am. I'm closing open tabs to 2, but I'm still not seeing anything. Anyways, I'll just keep going and... Okay. Maybe it will come back up. So getting back to Section 420, this provision, I think I was saying, it allows companies to go ahead and use surplus funding above a certain level to fund important health and life insurance benefits for retirees. And the right now, the threshold is at 125%. So anything above 125%, they can use that money to fund these benefits for retirees. What we've worked on is reducing that threshold down to 110%. So this provision is contained in two bills. It's contained in the Senate Help bill, but that bill only extends the Section 420 language, meaning it was set to expire and it extends it for another few years. It does not adjust the funding level down from 125%, which is what we want. The Senate Finance bill, however, not only extends the ability to use surplus funding to fund welfare benefits, but it also reduces the level from 125 to 110. And this has a good chance, we feel, of staying in any type of retirement bill because it actually produces revenue. And as everyone knows right now, Senate is desperate, or the Congress is desperate, for any type of money they can get their hands on. So we're working to make sure that this is included and that we get both provisions, not only the extension to use surplus funding, but also reducing the limit from 125 down to 110%. So those are the three provisions right now that we're watching. This is sort of this bill that they're going to merge all these provisions and the different variations is they're going to call it the Secure Act 2. And if it is brought to the floor, it will be obviously after the election, towards the end of this year, during the lame duck session. So we hope that it's going to pass. We're pushing for it. I know everyone on the Hill wants to see it done. And one thing that I feel very good about is that all of these provisions are bipartisan. And so from that standpoint, the election will not impact of whether this bill passes or not, because regardless of who's controlling Senate, they're already vested in these provisions. So that is sort of it in a nutshell of the three different issue areas that we've been working on that are currently in play to possibly become law by the end of the year. Now, should I ask if anyone has questions at this time?
Well, Allison, that's a very nice review. And about the political climate, what does your crystal ball say about next year?
Well, Bill, my crystal ball is a little cloudy. with everything going on. But, you know, I'm sure everyone's reading the paper, seeing what I'm seeing, but it really does look like the House is going to flip. I think the Senate is up for grabs. But as I was saying earlier, as far as these provisions go, I feel even if the House and Senate change, we still have a good chance of this moving forward because there's an agreement on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, that retirement issues need to be addressed. And so I think after all their hard work, they'll want to push forward and get this done. It will be interesting, though, next year, you know, because the House looks like it's going to flip sides. Who's going to be chairing Ways and Means? We don't know that yet. If the Republicans are in control, and who's going to chair the help committee on the House side. So, you know, that could change our agenda, could change our chances for other issues. We'll see. But anyway, so, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be, we'll know in about a week, right? So. Mm-hmm.
Do you see, Allison, any major push to weaken Social Security and or Medicare next year?
Well, you know, Republicans are always stewards of the budget, making sure you know, balanced budget, not overspending. So there has been articles written saying that they would go after Medicare and Social Security. I don't know, you know, it'd be interesting because I think the Republicans have learned from past mistakes that if they go after Medicare and Social Security, they lose a huge block of people, the retirees, you know, that are relying on that. So I really can't give you an answer. I would think that they would be worried about doing that right off the bat. And I have heard it mentioned by one person, but we'll see, or one representative on the Hill, but we'll see if that happens.
Well, good. Thank you, Allison. If you have any questions for Allison, now's a good time to chat them in, and we'll try to respond. Okay. Let me move forward by just kind of defining what the NRLN does annually to prepare.
Excuse me, Bill. Do you see this question? You asked for questions.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I still have my
Okay. You asked for questions, and I put up a question twice.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see. I didn't see it because I had my script up. I'll have to.
What I did was I sent you a private chat, and I also put it in the comments. And so it's important that for the people on the stage, I know you're in conversation, you're in dialogue.
Is that because
I think that's Allison's computer dying?
Yeah. So I just mic'd her microphone. So we need to kind of get that part of it tighter, okay? So that
no problem. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. So you want to take this question now, or you want to wait?
No, I think we should.
Okay. Go ahead.
Who's gonna read the question? I will. Okay. All right, Allison, we have a question here. It says, I'm thinking about switching from Medicare and my Medigap plan to Medicare Advantage. Should I do it? I think that was a question that was probably to be addressed to me. I sent Cindy a message saying, hey, that's should be my question, not Allison's. So I'm gonna answer it, okay? What I would recommend you do is go see our video on our nrln.org website and look at all the information necessary to prepare you and to put you in a position to make that kind of judgment yourself. There are a lot of potholes when it comes to trying to select the Medicare Advantage plan and comparing it with the Medigap plan. But I think you'll find this video will lead you through a process where you can do that wisely for yourself. And so my recommendation is that very much so that you go look at that video and also make sure you check your Medicare and you handbook for any information you may need. We can't obviously make a decision for you, and you'll have to do that. So we want you to sign up at nrln.org and respond to our action alerts email and contact us and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com, NRLN1. Call us toll free at 866-360-7197. Next. You want to go on with the rest of it?
Yes, I think that, in other words, I put up the contact information for NRLN because you were saying go to the website to look at that video. Okay. So I thought that was a good spot.
So I didn't need to say anything. You just put it up there flat.
Exactly. So now I guess you would continue on with your conversation.
Okay. So now I'm going to bring back up my script. What I'll do is I'll just offline it on a laptop or something. I want to talk a few minutes very briefly about how the NRLN prepares its legislative agenda. We have a grassroots committee that reviews this year's agenda and any new items that might come up through our associations and our chapters and individual members throughout the country. In addition to that, our association presidents and our chapter presidents receive copies of this year's 2022 legislative agenda, and we ask them for any new inputs that we should consider for adding to next year's legislative agenda. And that legislative agenda is divided into sections. The first is income security, which includes Social Security, and then there's health care, which includes Medicare. There are tax issues, there are lots of different issues. And we build an agenda, and hopefully by January 1 of 2023, we'll be off and running, prepared to lobby a new agenda for NLN retirees. And so that's the general process that we go through. Currently, there's a lot of opposition to Medicare Advantage plans, referring to a prior question, of course. It's building among advocate groups, and it's building among journalists and anyone who's interested in Medicare and the cost of Medicare. And basically, what is being said is that Medicare Advantage plans have not met their cost objectives of competing with Medicare, nor have they improved quality to the extent that anybody anticipated or they would. And so they're under the gun. And basically, it's been a long fairy tale, but I think the belief that privatization could avoid scrutiny is ending. And so you're going to hear more about that soon. And we'll keep you posted on our website and in future podcasts. But your senators and congressmen have a lot to answer for. The undermining of Medicare is a swindle. It demonstrates that our Congress has lost its moral compass. You should read our position paper at nln.org and see our videos for the facts. Second now, I think in order to just bring you up to speed briefly, the NLN is challenging the new ACO concept that will be introduced in January of 2023 called ACO Reach. It permits outside investors to control 25% of new ACOs. Those are accountable care organizations. And we expect service denials, more of ex officio private networks, and ultimately total privatization of Medicare, traditional Medicare as we know it now. So not only is Medicare Advantage plans on a roll to privatize, these ACOs are morphing into a very dangerous product and could privatize the entire of Medicare if we don't stand up to stop it. So we're preparing another detailed podcast to reveal this scheme, and we'll be back with that probably to release it in a few weeks for you to look at. So, okay. So this is where I was going to wrap it up, but we have more questions, right?
Yeah, Bill, again, we had a question in the last couple of minutes from Martha.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to figure out if you can see in the comment where I'm typing in, we have another question, or if you can
see it now. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I see that.
Yeah. We have, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's the question?
Bill, I'll take that one.
Okay.
Hi, Martha. Thanks for your question. We've been working.
Allison, I'm sorry, but there's a problem with your microphone. We've got a strong echo in the background. So give me a second. Let me see if there's something I can do to fix it on my end.
Okay. That sounds better already. And now it's so echoey.
Is your phone on?
No.
How about now? Say something now.
Can you hear me now?
Still got an echo.
Is this where I should be using headphones?
That might be a good idea, but you were doing fine before.
I know, that's weird.
And you echoed just a minute ago, Jackie, just in that last comment.
I'm echoing too?
Yeah.
I'm going to mute and then I'm going to come back in.
What is causing that?
All right. Oh, I'm still echoing.
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes, but you're echoing.
I don't know what happened. I'm gonna have to give us a StreamYard on that, because we were doing fine up until I put up this question. Okay, can you all hear me now?
Yes.
Am I still echoing?
A little bit.
Now I'm getting weird sounds. In addition to echoing, we're getting, sounds like one of those auditory hearing tests, you know?
Right. Or a UFO is landing.
I don't get it.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Am I echoing?
No.
Okay, it's Allison.
She's muted now.
Now, am I? Yes, I still am.
Oh, no, you are. You echoing.
Am I the problem?
Well, let's call it your computer problem. No one's echoing now. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, I still am. What is it?
I don't know. Yeah, well, is your light? No, your light couldn't be doing it. I don't get it.
Well, I think we should do another run of this before we do the 16th, and that'll make
sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Are you there, Jackie?
Yeah, I'm here. I was testing in the background, you know, doing some editing in the settings, but I was not able to fix Allison the way I did Martha. We're going to have to work on that, Allison, before the 16th.
I think we have had two questions remaining. At least one was.
Yeah, Martha had a question. So let me mute Allison so we can cut the echo until we figure that out.
Hey, I'm still echoing. Yeah.
And then, Bill, you want to answer this question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
No, that's not the question I want to answer. I think Allison was, HCTC. Do they have that spelled wrong? Yeah, it's HCTC, not HTC. It's HCT. Can you hear me, Jackie?
Yes, I can hear you. That's Martha's question. Martha is in YouTube.
I'm saying the acronym HTCT should be HC.
Okay, that's her question. I have no control over that.
Oh.
She's in YouTube. She typed whatever you told her to type, and it's showing up on the screen.
It's spelled ACTC on the question.
Okay, we'll correct it. It'll get corrected.
I was just pointing it out. Okay. It's doubtful that HCTC is going to be addressed before year end, but there's a strong push to make that happen. There are two issues here. One is whether or not it can be permanently voted on by Congress and therefore be sustained every year, or whether they want, whether it is approved temporarily for this year and would it be addressed again next year, or whether it will be addressed at all. But there's a great deal of pressure. I know we've lobbied two or three times on this issue. at the highest levels. We know that other organizations, advocate organizations, are doing the same. So I suspect that, yes, it will get some attention. It's a matter of timing, and when the budget discussions come up, they'll probably try to attach it to an omnibus bill of some type, and we'll know more later. We can't speak with any definitive answer here today. Next question. That's nice. Where's the question?
There are no more questions. Allison came in a second time. She's in the green room twice. So I was hoping that second one would have fixed the echo, but it didn't. So I was saying, Allison, I need to go get me a glass of wine, okay?
So there's a question about the Susan Muffley Act.
I don't have a question about the Susan Muffley Act.
Judy, Judy's not on, that's why. There is a question, but Judy's not on. Okay.
All right, well, let's plan on doing this again.
We have to. Yes. What would you recommend, Jackie, that we do some talking offline before we do it, right? And also, if we're going to use any kind of props, any kind of information other than just verbalizing, why we would need to put that up, get that prepared.
Well, I mean, I would really like to have a script, because I depend on that to follow along, and then I make notes in terms of where to interject slides or whatever else.
Sure.
So I think for me, that would be helpful. The other thing is, we need to figure out how you all are going to know when there are comments or questions. Because if I'm putting it in the comment box, or I'm putting it that is private, and I'm also putting it in the public comment, then everybody will see when I tell you have a question. See, so we need to work. We kind of need to work that offline. Now, if you and Allison are the main principals on stage, then we kind of need. Yeah, we need to go through this again.
Well, I see Ed came in and says, I have my own question for Bill.
There's Ed.
Yeah, Jacqueline, you're not seeing what I put up.
What did you put up?
Well, the previous one was Jacqueline. I have I was going to ask Martha's question before she came in, and then I've got another one here. I said, Jacqueline, I have my own question for Bill, and that was going to be the.
I saw it.
Where did you put it?
I put it in chat. I got no place
in
else.
You put it in the private chat?
Yeah.
Okay. See, so now understand that I'm looking at the main screen and the two chat screens. So if you put it in the chat and I don't respond, put it in the comments.
What comments?
The comments on this. You don't have comments, you just have chat?
Yeah, I just have chat from the green.
So you didn't see Martha's.
Hey, why don't we bring Cindy and Martha in too to dialogue?
Yeah, all they got to do is get back in with using the StreamYard link.
Yeah. You know, I'm raising the question whether we want to get all the questions in advance, instead of taking questions live. Coming in, because if you're working from a script, Bill, unless you got a
separate, this is hard to do. This is
unless you've got a separate screen for your script.
I don't have that. I'm going to do that. Okay, but I can. I do know that I'm questioning how confusing it will be for the average person who comes on YouTube to even ask a question.
Well, there's always Zoom.
No, I mean, listen, the number of people in this particular age group that's on Facebook has increased tremendously. I mean, if they can make comments on Facebook, or they can make comments on Instagram, they know what to do. It's left up to us to give them instructions on how to do it in StreamYard. That's my position. They know how to do it.
But they're on YouTube. They're on YouTube.
On YouTube, they watch YouTube videos. They know how to. I believe they know how to make comments. If not, here's the thing. Instead of having a comment or a question come up during the discussion, why not just save a period where you say, "Are there any questions?" And then at the end, "Are there any questions?"
Well, so that's what I did. Following Allison's presentation, I did that.
Right. But so what I'm saying to address Ed is that either A, you send out a request for questions ahead of time, and then you answer those questions during the broadcast, or B, while you're doing the broadcast, you break and have a Q&A either at the 10-minute mark or the 20-minute mark. I don't know how long you guys are doing this video, if it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes. So you break it into where you ask those questions, and then maybe take one or two questions, and that's it.
Yeah, but Bill and Allison have got to watch those. You're going to put the questions up on the screen like you did with Cindy's and Martha's?
No, I didn't know at the timing. I didn't know the timing. So now if Bill says, okay, we want to open it up for questions. If a question comes across, either I pop the question, pop it up on the screen, or I say we have a question, and then Bill would have to kind of lead into the question. So either A, you ask, are there questions, and boom, I pop it up.
Whoa. Maybe you struck on something. Okay, we've talked about Ed fielding the questions. And
wait a minute. Let me do this. Let me end the broadcast because we're still live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's end it. Now, give me a sec.